How many of you were here last week? Raise your hand and wave at me. How many of you were not here last week? Okay. For those of you who were here last week, how many of you enjoyed it? Okay. Were you freaked out at the beginning initially? All right. But then after you got into it and you did it, how'd you feel? It's pretty good, huh? So here's what we're doing. I've kind of changed, actually not kind of, but a lot changed the format for Wednesday nights. And for those of you who were here last week, I explained to you why. I've changed the format intentionally. Somebody say victory rising. Say victory rising. It's time for us to take it up a notch, and that requires us to engage fully. And so some of the things we've talked about last week were empowerment. And that's really what Wednesday nights is going to be all about. It's going to be about empowering you. It's not enough for me to talk and you to listen. And so by having the tables, we're going to empower you to engage your world and live a life fueled by His mission. Amen? We're empowering you to engage your world and live your life fueled by God's mission. It's not enough to just come. We must connect. And there are three areas you must connect. We must connect to God. Fair enough. Victory Church is here to help you in your connection with God. And secondly, Victory Church is here to help you connect with other people. Living for Christ is about more than just our relationship with God. We've got to make a connection to others. And then the third thing is it's about helping you connect to the Great Commission. Somebody say co-mission. And that's very important that we connect to God's co-mission. And so the first level of empowerment is engagement. Somebody say engagement. Now, this is really important, and that's why I have tables. Because if we can't connect with people in God's house, how are we going to connect with people outside God's house? If we can't pray for somebody beside us in God's house, how are we going to pray for somebody outside God's house at work? Because here's the reality. The world has questions and you have the answer. You've got Jesus. Amen? How many of you ever eaten at a good restaurant? Did you tell anybody about it? Right? Actually, statistics show if you eat somewhere you like, you tell three people. If you eat somewhere you don't like, you tell 7 to 9. What's that say about us? So we need to tell people we have somewhere good to eat. Amen? Where there's living bread and living water, and it's Jesus Christ. So, okay, let's dive right into this. So I've got notes for you every week where you can follow along. Let's real quickly review last week's. We talked about soul custody. Soul custody literally means the only person who has the legal authority to make major decisions on behalf of another person. And so we talked about the importance of taking custody of our soul. Somebody say, I have a soul. And the first point we had was that, number one, life has a way of depleting our souls. Fair enough? We talked about some of the ways that happen. We face things and situations every day that place a demand and a drain on our soul. The second one is you're responsible for your own soul. And this is where soul custody comes into play. We must take responsibility for our own soul. The most important conversation you will ever have is the one that happens on the inside of you, because the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, which means your voice is even more powerful than God's voice if you choose to believe what you say about yourself over what God says about you. Very important principle. And our lives are lived inside the limitations of that conversation. The third thing we addressed last week is that we never should put our emotional health in someone else's hands. In other words, if your day is determined by someone else's mood, let me try that again. If the kind of day you have over on this side of the room, if the kind of day you have is determined by the kind of mood somebody else is in, you might have put your soul into their hands. Has anybody ever been guilty of doing that? Right? The fourth one last week was restoring your soul. And this is important because our souls need restoration. If they're drained regularly, then they must be restored regularly. Jesus said in Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." Well, my shepherd is the restorer of my soul. Jesus restores my soul. He restores what life sucks out of me. And we talked about how that is no accident. There is a spiritual component to who you are, and then there's a natural component to who you are. So soul restoration includes both supernatural and the natural. And we talked about some of those things. I told y'all I love to be outside. I like to ride a motorcycle. I like to do all kinds of different things. You guys told me things you like to do. Some of it was crafts and quilting. And somebody said laying on a picnic table looking at the stars. And, you know, just things like that other than spending time in God's Word that renew and refresh our soul. But tonight, I want to talk to you about five soul assassins. Five soul assassins. Five things just will kill your soul. And I want us to really think about these and allow the Holy Spirit to heal our hearts and heal our souls in these areas. And the first one that's really hard on our souls is change. Somebody say change. The way we do Wednesday nights is an example. Change is hard. It can be hard on our souls. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And the reality, y'all, is change is not a choice. Change is a part of life. The only thing that never changes is change itself. It's a constant. And so here's what you've got to grasp. The depth of our devotional life must match the speed of change around us. Does that make sense? The depth of my devotional life must match the speed of change around us. If not, if external change exceeds internal growth, there's going to be disaster. And what happens is, if we don't develop our devotional life to meet and match the speed of change around us, then what happens is we can't keep up, and it leaves us feeling like life has left us behind and we're always trying to play catch up, and we feel like we're helpless or like we're victims. Okay, ever been there before? Lots of heads bobbing, yes. So let me ask you this, and you can come up with some answers at your table. What are some changes in life that are hard on us? What are some changes we experience in life that are hard on our souls? Changes you go through in life. I'm going to give you about 30 seconds. Ready? Go. Okay, stop. Hit me with what you got. Moving. Excellent. Divorce. That's a big one I thought of.
Having a baby.
Having a baby. Somebody else said children at the same time. One was a man, one was a woman. It's pretty unanimous. Death of a loved one. What else? Well, say one about parents. Bam, I thought about that one today. Aging parents. How many of you have or are taking care of or about to move into that season where you're going to be taking care of an aging parent? Okay, wait, keep your hands up. Keep your hands up. If you have your hand up right now, watch. I want everybody who has a hand up to look around and see how many other hands are up. These are where I need to connect dots. This is very important. Look around, okay? So here's what I want you to say. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. That's good. Somebody else.
Loss of a pastor.
Loss of a pastor. You're not losing this one. No, seriously. And let me tell you that, you know why I take off, you know, I don't just take off for me, I take off for you. The best thing I can do for you is take care of me. Y'all notice a difference in the preaching when I came back this month? Amen. Sudden drop of income. What was that one? That's another one I thought of today, Tom, right there, retirement. Yeah, because it's like you spent your entire life working and now what I do? Sudden loss of income. Some of you know exactly what to do. Your wife is telling you. Amen. Let me just say something right there as your pastor. I preached a message early on in the church. Woody and Jeannie, y'all heard it. Several others here heard it. It was called, I Want to Preach Your Funeral. In other words, I want to go the distance and do life with you. But it's really important for those of you retiring that you stay busy. Please stay busy. Amen. How many of you are retired? How many are retired? Look around the room. If you're retired, look around the room right now. Say, I'm not alone. Okay? You got to stay busy. Don't go to the rocking chair. So somebody else. Susan, you had your hand up. Praise God. I need to talk to you if that's your problem. Suddenly won Powerball. Just tithe on it. Let God sanctify that heathen money. All right, let's do one more. Is there one more? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Burden for your children. And Dorothy, yours was excellent. Disease. Okay, so that's a change in my health, in your health status. Burden for children. So it's pretty common. Most of us are impacted by these things. Most people sitting here today. How about empty nest syndrome? Anybody been through that in the room? A few of you? Your kids have moved out, and it's like, I know you have, Tom, whole different way of doing life, okay? So check this out. To everything, there's a season, right? To everything, there's a season, right? Let's try it again. To everything, I know that ice cream's good, there's a season, right? Okay, so a time to laugh and a time to cry, a time to dance, right? A time to mourn. And a time to live and a time to die. So, my job in managing my soul is to understand that everything, Candy, in my life is governed by a set time and a season God has given me. So, here's how that helps me. My job is to come to the place where I learn to enjoy every single season, Angie, regardless of what it is. I recognize that it's a season, and I recognize it's going to change. Amen? So whatever you're facing today is going to change. And that gives me hope. That's very important and very key to us having health in our soul. God governs everything by times and seasons. So whatever I'm going through now is seasonal, and it's going to change. Now, that means I take care of the things I can control, and He takes care of the things I can't control. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding, and in all my ways I acknowledge Him, and He directs my path straight. That's what I do with the things I can't control. But my job is to enjoy winter, spring, summer, fall. They're all beautiful in their own way. Some seasons of my life feel cold. Some seasons of my life are extremely colorful. Some seasons of my life are extremely fruitful. And some seasons of my life, I begin to sprout new things, and it's all about development of what's under the ground. That's what spring is all about. And so I've got to learn, no matter what season I'm in, to enjoy where I'm at. Look at somebody next to you and tell them, enjoy the season you're in. Okay, so change can be hard on our souls. So we've got to learn how to manage that change. Now, here's the really cool thing about it. Change has a beginning and it has an end. Fair enough? Okay, change has a beginning and an end. But in the middle, it looks and it feels like failure. Well, that wasn't real well received. I know when growing up, you hear this saying, well, God doesn't close one door that He don't open another. And my response was, yeah, well, it's hell in the hallway. Right? It has a beginning and it has an end. I know last year we updated some things in our house. J.D. Creighton, J.D. and Jen come here. He does a fantastic job as a carpenter. You worked with him some this summer. If you're looking for somebody, I highly recommend him. But he redid our stairwell, and it's gorgeous. And I'm just blown away by I'm fascinated by miter cuts and things like that. But anyway, the idea of remodeling is exciting. The end of remodeling is glorious. But it is a straight-up mess in the middle. And you got to live in that mess. That's what change feels like, right? And so if you're going through a season of change, your empowerment comes from understanding that the master carpenter is working in your situation. And keeping your eyes on the fact that what's coming ahead is going to be glorious. Can you say amen? Okay, so the first one is change is hard on our souls. Pretty much unanimous in consensus there. The second one let's talk about is conflict. Somebody say conflict. Now, conflict, I don't know about you, but conflict is a soul assassin for me. It can absolutely suck the life out of your mind, out of your emotions, out of your decision-making power. How many of you hate conflict? Right? Now, I don't know many people that like it. And if they do, it's really, really difficult. But how many of you would agree conflict is a part of all of our lives? We must deal with situations and things in life that are uncomfortable. We must, if we're going to grow with people and not live our life with a long line of a path littered with broken relationships behind us, we must be willing to have uncomfortable conversations with people we love. If we sweep it under the rug, it just eats that thing alive, right? It just festers. You can never move beyond it. And I've watched people who do that and they just ignore it and it never goes away. And it really just is like a cancer eating that relationship. So conflict is something that's really hard on our souls because conflict is heavy and typically conflict is hurtful. And the reality, y'all, is God never built you to carry the weight of conflict. Right? How many of you can say, I'm dealing with a relational conflict in my life right now, and I can feel it just depleting my soul? Hands, several, all over this room. Lots and lots. Y'all look around. If you got your hand up, look around right now. Find somebody else and lock your eyes on them that has their hand up. Okay? Now say, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. This is very important. Okay? Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, Jesus said, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him. If somebody does something wrong to you, go and share that with him. Go and tell him his fault, watch, between you and him alone. Just the two of you. Go and do it alone. Amen? If he hears you, you've gained your brother. And so it's important for us to make sure if there's conflict in our life, that we bring resolution to that situation by going to a brother or to a sister or whoever it might be and saying, you know what, you said or did something that really hurt me. And you may not even know you did it, but I love you. I don't want to lose this relationship, but it's a blockage between us, and I want to get it out of the way. I want to remove it so that we can go on, but I'm really wrestling with this. And if you go to somebody with that kind of spirit, 99% of the time, they're going to say, I am so sorry. Forgive me. Or if we're the one who offended somebody, you know, there's some times that I don't intentionally say something to offend somebody, but I'll say something in the context of a conversation, and the next day the Holy Spirit will tap me and I'll call them and say, hey, I just want to make sure to clarify, you knew I wasn't talking about you when I said this, or I didn't mean you, or I wasn't insinuating your X, Y, or Z. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? And it's very important that we take that minute to either text or email or call somebody and do that. But the reality is we've got to constantly find freedom through forgiveness and release from the burdens that other people try to lay on us. Offense is heavy. And people will try to put that on you, whether they realize it or not. But we've got to make sure we shed it. So I want to ask you, I talked about it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago in the first message on Victory Rising, and I talked to you where I freaked out in the swimming pool and about pounded the guy over the football that hit Zoe. Y'all remember what I'm talking about? And I said, there are some steps I took. Donna, you've already heard that one? Oh, great. She listens to us on the app. I'm like, great, that story travels. But here's the thing. Is there a situation that you can think of where you need to take those four steps? You need to own your mistake, admit you are wrong, humble yourself, and go to the offended person and repair the relationship. I want you to take a minute right now and think about it. Is there a situation where I'm dealing with conflict? Is there a part of that conflict I can take ownership and where I can go and take those four steps and be a peacemaker? I can build a bridge to reconciliation. I can extend an olive branch and goodwill to that relationship and tell that person. Is there anybody here brave enough to raise your hand and say, yeah, I can see I need to take some of those steps? Oh, wow. Y'all are awesome. Come on. God, give God praise tonight. Thank you. So So really, when we have these kind of discussions and we're talking about this, I'm more interested in saying less that sinks in, that you can walk out of here and apply. I've told you in the last couple weeks, I'd rather know 5 things in the Bible and live them every day than know the whole Bible and never obey any of it. So for those of you who raised your hand and those of you who were afraid to raise your hand, who needed to raise your hand, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Make a decision. Pray that the Holy Spirit opens that door and step through it and do that. How about, so the first one was change, the second one was conflict, and the third one is demand. Somebody say demand. Demand has a way of depleting our souls, doesn't it? What are some things that place a demand on our life? Discuss it at your table. What are things that place a demand on our soul? And let's come up with some and then we'll talk. Okay, let's hear back. What are some of the things that place a demand on your soul? Work. Caring for an elderly parent. Single parent, good. What was that one in the back? Children suck the life out of you. And the children's table said parents. Just kidding. Y'all aren't kids. You're adults. But for real, at this table, what places a demand on you? Huh? Parents? Money? What else? Education. Okay, so school. All right, somebody else tell me. What places a demand on you? Bills. It absolutely does. They're constantly talking to you. What else? Work places a demand on you. That's got to be one of the biggest. What else? Myself. How many of you are hard on yourself? I'm going to raise both hands for me. Look around the room at how many people are hard on themselves. Okay, say, I'm not alone. Right? Give yourself a break. Give yourself a break. God loves you. What else? What? X? Your ex. Pets. Your ex. Pets. Whatever. Pets. Yeah. You know what? I got rid of some pets that were doing that. What else? Shoot. I don't want to go there. Y'all have no idea. What else? Friends. Yeah, they do. What's that? Election. What else? Changes in society definitely place a demand on you. What else? Yep, I've got that one, that's for sure. One more. Health, very good. That can place a demand on us. Now, demand, just the word itself, signifies that there is something being commanded or a draw placed on you there. And it literally has a way of sucking the life out of us. So there are a lot of things in life that place a demand on us. There's only so much of you that can go around. Is that true? So many mouse clicks in a month. There's only so much of you that can go around. That's very important for us to understand. So then, if my days have been numbered by God, and David said, make me to know my end from my beginning. Okay. Why? He wanted to make his life count. Then I must be careful what I allow to demand my energy. And I must be the one who decides who it goes to and when it goes to them and where it's spent. Because there are things in life that demand the attention of your mind, will, and emotions on a regular basis that don't necessarily deserve it. Are you following what I'm saying tonight? Just because something demands attention from you doesn't mean it ought to get it. Okay? Because of a word called priorities, I must prioritize what's most important in my life. And then I must see how I'm spending my time in those areas. Very, very simple. The reality is God has gifted you and graced you to do something. Somebody say, do something. Your calling in life will always tell you to do more. And we've got to grow not only in our calling, but in God's wisdom to match the anointing or calling He places on our life. His gift in us will always say yes to every opportunity. Wisdom gives me the ability to know when to say no. And no is not a negative thing. No is the most positive response you're ever going to be able to give. Your children, when they ask for something bad for them and you tell them no, is that a bad thing or a good thing? It's a good thing. It's the same in our life. Your gift is like a gas pedal. Wisdom is like the brake. How many of you only used a gas pedal to get here tonight? I believe it. I know you. How many of you only used a brake to get here tonight? You have to use the gas and the brake. So there's two truths you've got to know when it comes to that demand on your soul. The first thing is this. You can't go wide, but you can go deep. You can't go wide, but you can go deep. And when we're spread too thin, we decrease our impact. Make sense? When we're, somebody nod at me. If not, say no, and I'll say it again. If we're spread too thin, we decrease our impact, just like an arrowhead. Okay, that point gives it the ability to penetrate. So my question is, what are areas of your life where you're spread too thin? What are areas of your life? You just answer this to yourself. What are areas of your life where you're spread too thin? Are there things you could hand off or dispose of so that you could focus in another area? And when I say dispose of, it's certainly not people. Okay? So you can't go wide, but you can go deep. Now, the second truth you've got to understand about demand is you can't be fair, but you can be strategic. I said you can't be fair, but you can be strategic. The reality is, in our heart, we want to help everybody. Fair enough? If you got the heart of God in you, you want to help everybody you meet. The reality is you can't do that. God is infinite. You are finite. So what I've got to understand is I can't help everyone, but I can impact someone. I can't do everything, but I can do something. And so what we have to do is we have to find our something, and we have to find our someone. Jesus changed the entire world. He was the most important figure in human history. I would say that if I was not a Christian. I would say that if I was an atheist. We mark time from what life was like before his arrival and what life was like after. Okay? So it's important for you to understand the life of Christ. Jesus impacted multitudes, certainly, but there were 12 people he chose to pour everything he had into their life. Heaven was riding on what he imparted to those 12 people. The entire world hearing the message was riding on what he imparted into those 12 people. And my point to you tonight is that less is more. What if we connected with fewer people on a deeper level than so many people on a superficial level? What are the relationships in your life that are going to matter the most when you draw your last breath? Who do you want next to your bed to say goodbye to you? How can we start pouring into those relationships, whether it's our grandkids? How many of you have grandkids tonight? How about your spouse? How about your children? How about that friend God's given you? Less is more. I love the way Woody says it. I'll never forget it. He said, "My greatest mission field sits at my dinner table. What does it profit me if I win the entire world and I lose my own family? If I'm busy meeting all your needs and my own kids go to hell?" You know how many pastors' kids live that life. They hate God, they hate church, because all they watched was other people demand their parents' attention and they never got to see their mom and dad. It's the same in your life. What are you letting pull you away from the relationships that matter most? Nothing is more important than relationship with the people God has placed in our life. Would y'all stand with me tonight? I just want to take a moment and spend some time worshiping the Lord and let these truths sink into your heart. Let them marinate. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you.